most people think of hip hop as this, what you call, as a spectacle. And I don't say, let's not say most people, let's say Western thinking. So, you know, Euro-American thinking, you know, when we think about dance, it's most of the time, or more than not, is thought of in, by way of spectacle. And specifically hip hop, and specifically when it comes to African-Americans. And so I'm interested in if hip hop was on a energy scale from 1 to 10, normally people expect 10. I'm interested actually in 1 to 6.
So how does dance do that then? I think for a lot of people who watch movies or listen to music or read poetry or whatever, it's a lot easier for people to dissect maybe a commentary that's coming out of that. And I want to know how you achieve those goals through dance.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think there's a major disconnect. And again, in the West, we Euro thinking processes and what have you. The way that we're taught to think is, you know, in regards to the arts, is that the arts is based on this sort of, I guess, is intellectual, into this intellectual realm. And so therefore the spoken word, you know, the written word, the art, those things are seen as a sort of, philosophical and intellectual property. But when it comes to dance, you know, people can't figure out how that relates to this, you know, the how dance is intellectual. And so in my opinion, it's not about it, you know, having to become intellectual so that you can understand it. Dance is about feeling. Dance is about feeling what, you know, it's a visceral feeling. So when a person dances, you actually get a visceral feeling from watching that person. You get excited. You don't even know why. But this is why I think dance is the most dangerous, because by way of movement, so to speak, meaning most inspiring, is because something comes over you and you have no clue what it is. You have no control over it, you know, when you hear that music. And so we often try to compare these things as if, you know, everything has to be cerebral and everything has to be in this mindset. But that's not how we work as humans. That's a particular cultural viewpoint.
And you've also said that people see Western classical dance as strong and elegant. And you're kind of hinting at this divide, too, that we don't see hip hop dance and culture that way. Why is that?
Well, anything that's not white is often looked at as savage and physical and visceral and non quote unquote intelligent or beautiful. But in African American culture and African culture, we acknowledge both sides: the beauty, the good, the bad, the beauty and the beautiful and the ugly. Those things. That's how things work, you know, good, evil. That's how everything works in the universe, you know what I mean? So, but in Western culture, they want to push the fantasy of the good and never really acknowledge the reality part of it. And so often we get the grunt of that. We get, oh, hip hop is just so negative. But no, it's not actually. It's a positive movement. It's always been a positive movement. It wasn't the corporations got a hold of it and pushed it into that negative space. You know what I mean? To only present it as this kind of physical, misogynistic art form that was gang-ridden in the whole nine.
It sounds like you're getting at a thing I want to talk about, where the issues have always been there in hip hop music, for example. When it first kind of started as a type of music, it was about social issues and it was about just everything, you know. And then you said as it became more corporate, that message was corrupted, and that's now the predominant one that people hear. And I feel like right now there's kind of a turning of a corner, kind of back, at least in like the hip hop market, to that sort of commentary that like that's the primary thing right now. Do you think that that's the case?
Well, I think it's the climate, you know, nationally or universally. You know what I mean? It's a new generation who, you know, don't subscribe to, gangster rap, you know what I mean? Or, derogatory rap and those kind of things. And they're moving, things are now pop, you know, and the rap that's out there today, I don't necessarily call it rap. I don't call it hip hop either. To me, it's just pop culture. You know what I mean? Like hip hop is still from the 80s and 90s, you know what I mean? Or 70s, 80s and 90s. So, I think it's a universal thing. I don't think it's specific to hip hop. I think the young generation are just tired of, you know, the mess that's going on and want things to be simple as they were before. I mean, when we think about it, that's what the term hip hop means. Hip is short for hippie, you know what I mean, which comes out of the Wolof language. Hippie means to be aware or to reopen your eyes or to open your eyes, right? And so it means, so the culture by definition means to be aware and to be knowledgeable. You know what I mean? And so I think what this generation is doing now is saying, this is what the culture really means. So why don't we just be aware of what's going on, be smart about what it is that we're doing.
You're a guest artist in residence at the University of Colorado. And I want to know, for you teaching, how that dynamic changes. And like from a choreography kind of setting to like a more formal classroom setting, I guess, if that's different at all.
Well, I mean, first, I don't think we started out traditionally. The company never started out traditionally, choreographically in that way. We, it isn't anything different than what we do, how I would teach anyone else in my community. You know what I mean? The difference is that, you know, well, I would say that the difference is the students themselves who have to learn how to become bilingual and attempt to not translate what I'm saying or what I'm doing or my methodology into their own language. And so it's about getting them to stop interpreting or co-opting what they think I'm doing. You know, so it's a whole culture, a major cultural divide. And, you know, often I think, I don't know if it actually belongs in academia.
Does that make you like question what you're doing sometimes?
Yeah, I question it all the time. Like, I don't know if it belongs in academia because, you know, academia is, you know, it's this one person with two professors at CU who are teaching hip hop physically, right, as a technique and teaching history. And so fighting the institution, you know, a branded institution and way of thinking, you know. So how do we beat that? How do we say, no, don't think that way, because that's not where we came from. I didn't come from that. You know, our methodology is steeped in the Africanist way, right? From handed down from each generation. So at some point, you know, there's a major cultural divide, you know, and that's the struggle, but that's what we have to do in academia. And whether it was in academia or whether they were coming in to take a class with me or coming to my rehearsal or going to a jam session or apprenticing me, following me all over the world or whatever, it'd be the same thing. You know, if you're not from a culture, how do you expect to learn a culture in 4 months, twice a week? Some of that is very arrogant, actually. You know what I mean? And so it's a major cultural divide. And so I often think about, I'm not sure as to whether it belongs in academia. Hence, I'm a guest in residence.
Rennie Harris, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.